process, and it's part of that land use review.
Thank you.
The zoning code, sorry.
Please.
The zoning code also specifically states that plan districts and overlay districts modify the regulations of the base zone.
So another way that I'm trying to get reconcile the same issue the mayor raised and Commissioner Fritz just addressed, and when I go to the approval criteria, one way of looking at it is if you come to council under sub one, which essentially says you've been deprived of all reasonable economic use, that's the takings argument.
Mm-hmm.
And the takings argument trumps if we find that to be. If there isn't a takings argument, and that's not before us currently, then it's, by definition, a balance. And it's the tension has to be resolved through a balancing. And the balancing, ultimately, the burden is placed on the applicant. So at this stage, it is a balancing with the applicant having the burden, and that's at least how the code anticipates we would resolve that tension that the mayor identified, as I read it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I in the ballpark?
That's correct, and that's why the Blanchet House, when we had that, was a tough conversation. I was balancing the comp plan.
And in effect, that is, in some ways, the legal precedent that we are creating through these kinds of processes. It is, each case is a case by case, but there is, in effect, some legal precedent in terms of how hopefully we're consistently construing the applicable code and applying it. Mm-hmm. Then since if we get to a balancing test, that by definition isn't much of a precedent because every case is unique and you'll balance it slightly differently. But to the extent you are identifying things like public benefit as an important consideration, then that does send a signal to the next applicant mm-hmm. about where our focus may be.
And it's why the Type 4 has you as the approval body.
I think we may have exhausted our list of questions. Any more? Anything else that you want to add?
Other than Mayor, I just want to compliment staff for this exchange. This is a very hard case, and it's a case largely of first impression, and we appreciate the guidance we're getting in terms of our deliberations.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. So now I'll close the public hearing.
That's correct.
Can begin council discussion and deliberation and proposal of a motion if there is one.
I'm ready to do so.
Okay.
I believe the Landmarks Commission got it right. It's a women's, one of the first women's hospital with one of the first well-known businesswomen, Mrs. Alta B. Spaulding, who I had not previously heard of, and that in itself is a problem because as a graduate of nursing school and somebody who worked at OHSU, I would have hoped I would have heard of her before. And the building has significance as a historic structure. It fits well into the neighborhood. We heard a lot of testimony about the fabric of the neighborhood and the appropriate scale of development. There's no contention that all economic value is taken away by not allowing the demolition. And we haven't heard any proposal to replace the building with something close to being compatible in the area and the district, given the nature of the surrounding buildings, particularly the 14 small historic structures. So this building does fit into the overall scale and the time period of the other buildings in the neighborhood, and therefore I move up that we deny the application.
Is there a second?
Mayor, I'm going to second it and explain my thinking. In 9 out of 10 cases that come to us with the players before us who represent the applicant, I would be inclined to be supportive of a development. We have a responsible owner, a world-class development team, and an award-winning architect firm. You can't get a better team together. But the question that we have to grapple with, since there's no taking issue in this case, is on balance, is it or is it not supportive of the goals and policies of the comp plan? The burden is on the applicant, and I think the burden is particularly heavy when an administrative body with expertise that we have asked to give us recommendation has come down so strongly. For me, though, in addition to the analysis we've been presented to by staff, I struggle with the question of public benefit. I was on the council when we took up the Blanche House. And while I disagreed about the merits of the Dirty Duck building, which some people thought was a more significant building than this commissioner, the public benefit was overwhelming with the new Blanche House. And in addition, because of the significance of the issues we're addressing as precedent, and I'm not talking about legal precedent, I'm talking about signals that we would be giving in other historic districts, I believe we have to err on the side of caution at this point. And while I am not saying that under no circumstance could I approve a demolition permit, under this or similar circumstances, I can't get there on the record before us, and so I will second the motion.
Okay. Further discussion before we take a vote on that motion?
Yes.
Mayor Hales, I would just clarify that your vote today would be tentative
only. It's a tentative vote to be supported by findings, exactly, though we've got
correct
findings already on the record from the staff and the commission. They'll need to be added to, no doubt.
Correct. And that would be to, and perhaps as I understand the motion, it would be to uphold
the
Landmarks Commission's recommendation,
right,
and deny the application.
Right.
I wasn't clear whether we were on appeal or not on appeal.
Oh, this
so.
Is, yeah, we're upholding the
thank
Design Commission's
the
denial. Right. Okay. Further discussion, Steve?
My inclination would be to put this decision on hold and ask the applicant to go through the design advice process. And I do think there is a public good argument for demolition. One is that this is an unreinforced masonry building, and unreinforced masonry buildings are a safety hazard. And frankly, that leaves me with something of a bias towards removing them if there's not an obvious immediate path to reinforcing them. Another is that I think that, we are going, in order to meet our climate change goals, we are going to need to have more people living in multifamily housing, and not just poor people, but higher income people. We want higher income people living in multifamily housing rather than in mansions that use a lot of energy. And I know that it takes energy to knock down and rebuild a building, but there's all people who are living in mansions suck up a lot of energy over a long period of time. And when I look at Goal 12, enhance Portland as a livable city, attractive in its setting and dynamic its urban character by preserving its history, and we would be knocking down a piece of history here, but also end building a substantial legacy of quality private developments and public improvements for future generations. I think particularly if we had family housing in a multifamily unit, that would add to the dynamism of the urban character of this neighborhood, which is why I'd be particularly interested in having a condition of a certain number of the units being at least two-bedroom. It's actually, frankly, easier for me to say what I'm saying, knowing I'm probably going to be on the losing side than if I had a chance of being on the winning side, because I don't like to go against staff. But I do think that there are strong arguments for placing this. And also, the idea of getting rid of surface parking is rather appealing as well.
Okay, further discussion? Then let's take a roll call on that, please.
Novick?
Nay.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I too have a lot of respect for the applicant and the team that's been assembled on this proposal. But I do have to say, and I appreciate the efforts towards Northwest Pilot Project, towards applying for tax credits for affordability, but I do find that this proposal does not have a compelling substantial benefit, a compelling public benefit attached to it in its present form. And not to say that it may not come back to us, and I do think that perhaps nothing in our decision will prohibit you from seeking the design advice, taking another run at maybe the number of family size units, the affordability levels. But I just can't, given, as Commissioner Fish said, it's not a legal precedent, but it does sort of have a, given this is the second time we've ever made a type 4 decision, it does carry sort of the water cooler precedential value associated with it. And for that reason, I really need to see a more compelling public benefit before I could approve demolition of this structure. I don't really, I've seen the structure. I've learned the history last week. The structure is not that impressive. The history is more compelling. But I, as I said, I don't find a compelling public benefit in this proposal as it's presented to us this week that I can approve it. And therefore, I too vote aye. Right.
Hales.
So I want to echo a lot of the comments here. This has been a very difficult case for me to weigh, in part because I do have such respect for the applicant and for his partners and family and for the team that has been assembled to do this proposed project. And we've seen a lot of good quality work done by members of that team, and I think that's eminently possible in this and other places. But I agree with a lot of the comments of my colleagues here, and I went through those six criteria under 33846.080(c)(2) and tried to score each one based on everything that we've heard in this hearing and seen from the commission and from the staff. The merits of demolition. In this case, demolition might be the only realistic option for this building. I've heard conflicting testimony about that. I've heard people say that it's possible to renovate this building and keep it, and I've heard people who are also well-informed say probably not. I share Commissioner Novick's concern that even though we haven't figured out how to fund the seismic improvements of unreinforced masonry buildings all over the city, pushing a property owner towards a scenario where they have to keep a dangerous building dangerous is something that is should be of concern to all of us. But, okay, I'll score that one in favor of the applicant. The merits of development that could replace the demolished resource, either as specifically proposed for the site or as allowed, well, sometimes that's pretty easy if it's as allowed. If it's zoned storefront commercial and the site is zoned storefront commercial and the property owner is going to demolish an older building and replace it with storefront commercial in a storefront commercial district, I think we actually, without seeing the design of the building, have a pretty good idea of what we're going to get because of the requirements of the base zone. But this is zoned RH, and as we've seen, you can build a very massive envelope building in an RH zone absent any other design guidance from either the Landmarks Commission or the Design Commission. So we don't know enough about this proposal to say that it meets that criterion, and particularly because of the context in this case, and I take Mr. Michelson's counsel seriously and Mr. Heron as well. If you look at this versus other situations, the suite of old houses that are north and south of this site are extraordinary resources. I'm not a historic landmarks expert, but I can see that. And so whatever gets built on this site is going to have to show great deference and neighborliness to that particular set of buildings on both sides. That's the deal because that's the neighborhood, and that's what we have to take into account, which is why I asked those questions about an entitlement to the full build-out. Not necessarily was the answer, and I think that's the right interpretation. So that's a question mark. The effect that demolition would have on the area's desired character? Well, the desired character is both historic preservation and density. And again, we can't tell from the application without a more detailed design. The merits of preserving the resource, again, it's hard to know if it's possible. But if you look at all those question marks and in that list, and if the burden of proof is on the applicant, then unfortunately the burden of proof isn't met. Unfortunately for the applicant, the burden of proof isn't met. And that we have to, whenever we see a case, whether it's a zone change or a comp plan amendment or a very rare instance like this of a demolition review, if it's a close call, we have to remember where the burden of proof is, and it's always on the applicant in a situation like this. And then finally, I do have to give some deference to the volunteers that we ask to serve on these boards and commissions, whether it's the Planning and Sustainability Commission when they put a zoning designation on a piece of land in the first place, or the Design Commission or the Historic Landmarks Commission when they do this kind of work. We had a unanimous recommendation from this citizen body who we entrust to give us good advice, and we have to have very good reasons not to take it and a very compelling case not to take it. And again, I don't think this case is compelling enough. So I'm not sure where this goes from here in terms of the applicant's options. Again, I'm pretty convinced from what I've heard that it might not be possible to keep this building in service with the seismic costs that are attached to it. That's not unique to this site, but it doesn't allow us to approve essentially a speculative plan for what might go there in its place. If we have a specific plan that shows a great deal of deference to its neighbors and does a better job of more clearly meeting these criteria, it might be possible to approve something else. But given what we have in front of us, I don't believe we can approve this. So I vote aye. So that's a tentative decision to deny the demolition review and uphold the staff and commission's findings. We'll need to set a date for the adoption of those findings, city attorney and staff and applicant.
I'm conferring with staff to see how much time.
We're not meeting again until January 7th, so
great.
You have a little time. Plenty of time.
Maybe the second or third week in January.
Okay, and it'll be on the regular calendar because it's just adoption of findings. So we don't
set a date and time certain.
Yeah.
We need to set a time certain
for a morning session probably.
Yeah. The 14th's really busy. Is the 7th okay? It will be at 10 a.m.
And this is just for the adoption of findings, so
it's a
swift action.
And I'd like to thank both the applicants and the neighbors for a very constructive set of testimony, and especially Hillary Adam and Tim Herron in the Bureau of Development Services for their guidance through this process, as well as the Landmarks Commissioners. It's really been a very helpful discussion as we look at what are historic resources and how are we going to take care of them and of neighbors. So thank you.
Thanks very much, everyone. We're recessed for 10 minutes, and we'll come back for the other time certain.